Today's scripture comes from Acts 11, 1 through 18. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered him from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you are you to enter the household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God, then the same gift he gave us, we were believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. As we continue to worship you, may it simply speak to us your truth for our lives. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. I've jokingly said that I never really had a call to the ministry. But I became a United Methodist pastor because of the potlucks. Phenomenal food, cookies, an abundance of goodies, always something in that walk-in fridge there also. Sometimes people catch me walking in there trying to find something. What are you doing? Food, you see, is key to our walk as Christians. It is something that provides a focal point for gatherings. How often do we gather here? And think about groups that you may participate in here, and there's generally food involved in some place or another. And oftentimes, yours truly is showing up also just as it's being served, right? Food, you see, is a unifying thing. And whenever we share food with one another, whenever we break bread with someone else, and specifically whenever we're in their home to eat with them, it's more, as Christians, I should say, it's more than simply filling our stomachs. It is something sacred because God is on that holy ground. When we as believers get together and eat together and share together, that's something that builds the church, especially whenever we recognize God's presence in it. If we're simply running down that hall after worship to get some of the best cookies, we're missing the point. I'm not wanting to point at anybody in particular. if we go down there and we seek to see God's presence in one another over the coffee and over whatever else is there, then we are building God's church. If we seek out that person who's not sitting with someone, who might actually be outside of the group of individuals that we always sit with at the same table, and we seek them out, and we spend time with them, and we go over and say, hello, my name is, that is an act of grace and love and welcome. We're not called to be a clique. We are called to be a church. And that means that anyone who steps through those doors is called to be welcomed by us. We are called to allow the presence of God that is in us to shine, to speak to them, to greet them, to welcome them with open arms, just as Christ's open arms provided grace for us on the cross. You see, my friends, coming and simply attending church is not enough anymore. Worshiping God, putting God first, and speaking of God's grace to one another is what we are called to do. The question is, can we open ourselves, move out of our own skin enough to allow God to indwell and shine through us? The scripture passage today, as I mentioned to my friends here earlier, and my brother in Christ said, boy, whenever they started talking about sweets, you really got distracted. I did. I started thinking about Tiki Hut myself, and I lost train of thought, I'll admit to you. But it's more than something about food. Certainly, that's mentioned. And actually, Peter here is recalling a vision. Luke, as a writer in the Gospels, often repeated things three times to make a point. And this story is one of those that is repeated. The story of Cornelius's conversion. It's repeated because it needs to be heard. And God knew what he was doing, or always does, that this would be included in the scripture, that for us today, we would hear it once again. That God's grace reaches out to people that we would not expect. That God indeed puts us with people that we would not expect to be with. That God's grace puts somebody with us whenever they didn't expect to be with our kind of people either. You see, it's not about us and them anymore. It's about we as God's children. It's about this movement of the Spirit that places us in situations and circumstances to understand that we are messengers, that we are modern-day disciples. Not simply those who bear the name of Christ as Christians, but more so, taking that further step of wanting to share the good news. Peter, you see, gives the glory to God. If then God gave them the same gift, this is verse 17, that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? Hear that. Peter is saying, who am I going to stand in the way of God working? It's not me who did it anyways. It's God who guided me. I didn't want to be with a Gentile, a non-Jew outside of the faith. I didn't want to do that, and yet God guided me to be there. God gave me the words then to speak to this person who had not yet had that saving relationship, who was not part of the church. It's key also because while Jesus spoke about reaching out to those who are outcasts, I mean, they were the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, were critical of Jesus whenever he broke bread with, quote-unquote, the wrong people. As he sat at dinner in the house, this is from Matthew chapter 9, in the house many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, Jesus sitting with these outcasts, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And then continuing, now the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Continuing, then there was a woman who interrupted a meal to anoint Jesus' feet. You remember that? We talked about that a few weeks ago. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. That was a situation that caught people's attention, and it was a total abandon on the part of that woman. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw it, he wanted to kind of get closer to Jesus, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, and that she is a sinner." When we're confronted with the truth of biases that we maybe have had, or closed-mindedness to how God's grace has touched us and now how we're supposed to offer it, challenged and called to offer it to one another, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? For us, we must hear this story of Cornelius' conversion. Peter, you see, right at the beginning, we're reminded, is defending himself. Headquarters is unhappy. And so he was called before that council to defend himself. And what he said was simply a relaying of what God guided him to do. Simply a relaying of a story. Now, if he had gone there to the council, to the main poobahs, the grand poobahs, if you will, in Jerusalem, and tried to debate theologically with them, there would have never been a change. In fact, they probably would have come right back to him and said, "You're wrong, case closed." But what did he do? He told them this story. And that reminds us of the power of story in relaying the faith. If you're sharing with somebody about your faith, you're not going to go through a list of theological truths, are you? Probably not. What you're going to do is share how God has been at work in your life. In other words, your story. I've tried to demystify that to people whenever we talk about giving a witness or giving a testimony, and say that whenever you offer that, whenever you offer a witness, whenever you offer a testimony, what you're doing is saying, "This is how God has been at work in my life." It doesn't have to be anything dramatic. It doesn't have to be anything long. It can simply be, "This is how I felt God's love. This is how God has spoken to me. And God's placed it on my heart simply to share it with you." Peter relayed this story, and we won't go through it. It talks about unclean animals. And again, it's not about eating, really. But it is about who we are called to be in fellowship with, and specifically around table fellowship with, because whenever we're gathered around that table, there's meaning there, there's love, there's grace. God has ordered it. If you ever think, where was God at work in my life? Well, he's at work in your life at this very moment, because God has done something. God has gathered his people once again around his table. This table fellowship. This table, this holy sacred place God has gathered his family once again. That's exciting. That means is that we share together in the communion with one another. And as his church, he is feeding us. But he is feeding us for a task, to be able to tell the story of how God is at work in our life. Think about that with me, just for a few moments before communion. How is God at work in your life? Maybe the question is, how would you like God to be at work in your life? And considering that, you can start seeing how he has been. His touch, his word, his presence through one another. Maybe coming here today, it's the first time, possibly. God has moved you to be here today and to be gathered as his children around his table. Maybe you've been coming here Sunday after Sunday and you're still feeling, you're still searching for God to speak to you. Maybe it's gathering around the table that will remind you that he loves you, that you belong to him, that you are his. What a joy it is to know that it doesn't stop here either. That once we are filled by this table fellowship, by this holy gathering that God has called us into, we are called not to hold on to it, but to share it with the world. How is God, our holy heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, at work in the story of your life?